Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. Today it is just me. My energy is actually, I feel like I say this all the time, but my energy feels a little bit low. I had a fun weekend in Atlantic City Comedy Club, but the week before that, leading up to it, I had food poisoning and I was still recovering this past weekend. So the shows were really fun. But I mean, Friday night's 9 o'clock show, I was like dipping. Anyway, and I guess I'll explain a little bit about the food poisoning. I didn't know if I wanted to talk about this or not because it's about my diet and I don't even like in a sense that, okay, let me just put it this way. I have been vegetarian for a long time, although some people would argue that because I have fish seldomly when my body really feels like it's craving it. And yes, of course, I feel bad for the fish and I, you know, say a prayer and I'm very aware of when I eat something like that, the whole food chain and being thankful and grateful and all of it. But last week, I was craving for the first time in about 15 to 20 years, I was craving meat. And it was a really interesting decision for me because I really am about, in terms of spiritual work and just life in general, it's about listening to your body. And the cravings were so strong that I actually finally listened, which was a hard decision for me. So I did go. I had meat three different times within 2 days and ended up getting bad food poisoning. I got really sick. And when I was sick, this was Thursday at like 4 a.m. I woke up very, very sick. And I was almost in and out of consciousness. My body was convulsing. And honestly, I felt like I was going through the process of what the cow had gone through on its way to the slaughterhouse. So I am back to being vegetarian. I do not regret what I did. I let my son know, who has been vegetarian since he was born, and his father is also vegetarian. I let him know. He did judge me at first, which I expected, but then, you know, said that it's my life to live. And he's right. You know, we all get to make choices for ourselves about what feels right. And I, for whatever reason, had to go and have three separate meals. One was chicken-based and two were cow-based. And like I said, I felt different things going back there and doing that. But it really brought me to a different place of freedom within my diet. And I feel, as I've claimed being vegetarian again for now, and who knows what will shift. But it was really about claiming it for myself because I used to be a part of the vegan community and they can be very judgmental. I remember when this one woman who's a pretty famous vegan, when she started eating meat again, she got called names like whore and all this stuff. And I mean, whatever. Like, people are going to call people names when it hits, when something you're doing hits another person away where they don't want to look at themselves. It's easier to just say, oh, you eat meat, you're a whore. But I mean, that's just not how to fight for any kind of cause. And I am, even though I had meat this past week, I'm a big animal rights activist. I do not think in any circumstance that cows, pigs, chickens should be kept in these really tiny cages fed with antibiotics and to the point where their bodies get so big that their legs, you know, crumple under the pressure. Like, that's just not how to do it ever. So, and I'm not saying that when I had meat this week that I got it from perfect sustainable farming places. But for those of you who do want to continue, I would suggest trying your best. I know it's more expensive to get it from those places. I also love that rapper slash comedian Lil Dicky. He came out with a new song this week. I think it's called like We Love Earth or Earth. It's really good and it just has such a good message. He collaborated with like a billion people, including Kevin Hart, Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Rihanna. It's all about saving the earth. And he has a lot of, it's really funny and it's really good, but it also just has brilliant lyrics that are fighting for the planet Earth. And he says something like, we have 12 years to turn this shit around. And he's right. And we have to wake up now. And that's the big thing of the evolution revolution I always talk about, is our planet's in trouble. And we often want to walk around in denial of it, which I understand, but it's too late for denial. It's time to turn the ship around. And I think a lot of us who are waking up to our truest light-filled beings, we're hearing the call from Gaia, the soul of the earth, and she needs our help. And you can think I sound crazy or not, but those of you who are awake know that the earth is in trouble and we have to come together and do something about it. But you can also have a fun, good, successful life. You don't have to hate money or fun or freedom to fight for things like the planet, animals, humanity, all sorts of good causes out there that people are fighting for. So shout outs to Lil Dicky for putting out a brilliant song that is for a good cause. I appreciate that kind of artwork. So that really touched me. And the person who showed it to me was Shane. And I love when Shane showed me, he knew I'd be so excited to see it. And I just love that Shane appreciates Lil Dicky for so many reasons, including that this man just put out a rap song fighting for this planet. Because guess what? No matter all of our disagreements over politics, race, whatever, if we don't have a planet to fucking live on, none of that shit matters. So it's time once again to turn the ship around. And all of us who are waking up, we're creating the new earth together, where we're in community, we're having fun, we have each other. You know, maybe we connect to aliens, maybe, maybe we're not. I mean, I'm gonna, but I'm saying like, let's just fucking do the damn thing. So yeah, really loved that rap song. Also, just once again, want to say bullies stink. And look, we all have the shadow side within. We all have darker thoughts and, you know, this primal force. I'm not talking about denying that. What I'm talking about is channeling it into an art form in a way that's not, I don't know. I guess I'll just say I love comedy. It has saved my life in so many ways. I love the expression of it, the art form of it. But there have been a lot of comedians who think that being funny means being mean and being hateful. And I try my best when I'm on stage to have conscious comedy. I'm not saying I've always nailed it through the 8.5 years that I've been on this journey with comedy, but I will say that it's time in that community as well for people to become a bit more conscious about who their jokes are affecting. I remember when I first started comedy going to mics, I mean, I remember seeing acts that were so misogynistic and racist. And it's like, those kinds of things just have to stop. Like, I mean, hopefully they just won't get that much attention anymore. I think that's the way to really stop it. But that's why I love the show I started with Jess Grippo and Allison Charles, Comedy Seance, because it's a space to be creative and to laugh. But we all try to hold a very positive space for people to create. And it's not about hurting people. And I know I sound very art teacher here, but let's keep it real. Like, that's what the new earth's about. It's about being creative and funny and claiming your shadow. Darkness is a part of all this, but darkness is different and claiming that shadow than, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to point out a specific thing, but I just think it's time that we shift a little bit, especially in the comedy. I'm already seeing it happen. Like, Amy Schumer and Ellen DeGeneres' comedy specials, I thought they were brilliant. I loved both. And I think they fit in this category I'm talking about. So the shift is happening. And I'm very, very grateful for it. And it's not, I'm not trying to say all comedy should be PC at all. I actually, there was one woman that got really offended by my lewd. She literally wrote a really mean Facebook comment on my Facebook post, she was like, it was on Good Friday to top it off. So she went to the Atlantic City Comedy Club on a Good Friday and got offended that I had lewd material. Anyone who would Google me for even 30 seconds before they go to one of my shows would know that I'm not a clean comic. So she just must have not have done her research, which is fine. But if you are going to go to a comedy club, I would recommend knowing who you're going to, because Comedy Seance is a positive space, but it's also a space that's there to evolve and expand. And some people just don't even like when I talk about aliens. Some people actually, one dude got really mad because I told him he should teabag an alien, and he like legit got upset. Like, if you get upset by a female comedian talking about teabagging aliens, not in a mean way, just like trying to be funny, I mean, but who knows? Maybe someone would say that that's negative. I don't know. So you just have to feel into what comedians make your heart happy and make you expand. But it has been an interesting journey in comedy and trying to interweave my spiritual journey with it has been really interesting. But I'm just so honored because I've met so many really cool people walking the path of the Bodhisattva. And I'm just excited as shifts continue to happen in my life and in my friends' lives, the things actually happening. I feel like I've been talking about creating this new earth, and a lot of my friends have for years, and I'm starting to really, really see it. And I just can't wait, you know, and especially for my really loyal listeners who've been with me, whether it's the whole time or you just got on and I'm like, what I'm saying is vibing with you, like, this shit is happening and we're ready to fucking get on our rocket ships and fucking go for this life. So, and I have some really fun things in store that I'll be sharing within the next month. Including this Saturday is Miss Wolf's art class in Island, New Jersey. And it may be after this one, I might pause it for a bit. I'm not fully sure. So if you've been wanting to go, I would definitely check it out this Saturday, 10 to 3. Tickets on Eventbrite on my Instagram page at the Kate Wolf. I left the link, and I believe it's also on my Facebook fan page, Kate Wolf, the link. So go there if you want to check out Miss Wolf's art class. I believe this Saturday we're going to be focusing on portraits. So the last three, it's been just expanding to whatever, but I do think we're going to, you know, and I never force anyone to do anything they don't want to do, but I do think we're going to do a little bit more of a portrait session, which I'm very excited about. So painting portraits can be very, very tricky, but it's also one of my favorite things to do. Especially when you're allowed to abstract it, you know, whether it's Picasso style or more in a Van Gogh kind of way, it's so fun to get to paint a face, but put your own kind of twist on it. I think so much freedom can come through in that exercise. So I'm very excited. My friend Tina might come by, and I'm actually hoping, to podcast with her later that night. So she may be the next podcast guest, and she hasn't been on for a bit, so it'll be exciting. Obviously, I watched Game of Thrones. I watched it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and today because it's so fucking good. And for those of you who don't watch, you can stick with me real quick. It's not going to be the whole podcast, and I'll try to explain it in a way that everyone can understand. There will be some spoilers. If you have not watched the second episode of season 8 Game of Thrones, first of all, that's the first thing you need to fucking do. And if not, well, you might want to pause or turn this off or fast forward it for 10 minutes because I'm about to say some stuff. So last week, I messed up Gendry's and Podrick's name, but because I was saying Arya and Gendry were flirting, and then this week, guess what? They had sex. It's crazy, right? When you know an actress who, because we watched Arya grow up through the series, so you watch, I think she started when she was like 10, right? I guess about 10. So first of all, it's always, an interesting scene, sex scene. When you've watched the character grow up, you're like, oh my God, you know, there's an intensity because you still see them in a sense as a kid. So I think we all kind of felt like, whoa, Arya's naked. But she's such a badass. Like in the scene before they had sex or leading up to their sex, she was having him, he's a weapon maker. And she's like, yo, get me my fucking weapon because the Night Army with the Walking Dead is coming. And he was kind of treating her like just a silly girl still. And Arya, for those of you who don't know, she is like the most badass girl ninja walking the fucking block. And she just like, she asked him what it's like to fight the White Walkers, like the zombie army. And he was like, it's bad. And she's like, I'm going to need more than that. And he's like, it's like fighting death. And she just took her fucking knives and just started throwing them, like three of them perfectly in the same spot where they just like did this perfect little half circle. And she was just like, I know death and its many, many faces. I'm looking forward to meeting this one. And he was just like, oh shit, like who dis, you know? And then they ended up getting together and she just was fucking baller. So I loved that scene of Arya putting on her crown, owning her sexuality, while also just being one of the craziest, most badass girl ninjas out there. How cool is that? Oh, and then this is going to be filled with spoilers once again. So then, and look, the name of the episode is The Night of the Seven Kingdoms, and it's dedicated to Brienne, if I'm saying it right, and she got knighted by Jaime Lannister in an incredible scene where Tormund is like, telling the story about why he's so big is because he killed a giant and then suckled on his wife's tit for 3 months, and so he had giant's milk, and that's why he's so big. He's just an amazing character. But he was like, if I was a king, I'd knight you 10 times over to Brienne. And then Jamie's like, you don't need a king to do that, a knight can do that. And then he gets up and he's like, Brienne, kneel. And it's like all dramatic and everyone's watching, and it's a big deal because women aren't knighted at that time. It's like, and honestly, this time as well, as the divine feminine, the Sri Yantra sets in and women claim their throne. It's a very powerful scene to watch Brienne, who's one of the most honorable knights, best fighters ever, to get officially knighted. Very emotional. And then you see her smile at the end, and you never really get to see Brienne smile. And it's just, I love that they named the episode after that scene. It's powerful. It's beautiful. I love, love the characters in it. Fucking awesome. Another important thing is Jon Snow, who now has found out he's actually Rhaegar Targaryen. And if I mess up names, by the way, I'm sorry. It's a lot of interesting names we're not used to like have in your system. But anyway, Jon finally tells Daenerys, aka Emilia Clarke's character, who he is. And it means he's the true heir to the throne, and she's his aunt. But they don't even really care about the incestuous thing. I guess that's like a lot more common there. And then she's more just like, well, you would be heir to the throne, because she's been working her whole life to gain the throne back. Obviously, I'm not worried about it. Everyone's like, oh God, what's going to happen? They're obviously going to share the throne together, I think. I'm saying obviously, who knows? But to me, oh, and the last podcast, I called it The Story of Fire and Ice. It's the song, which I like even better, of Fire and Ice. And, you know, she represents fire, and I believe he represents ice. His name's Jon Snow. And I think it's them coming as an equal masculine, feminine power couple into power, and the trust and the families involved. And I think they'll kick ass. I loved that this episode, Daenerys and Jon's sister Sansa finally talked and started getting along. I just think it's beautiful. Now, obviously, the fucking Night King and his army is around the corner. And there's going to be a huge, the next episode, episode 3 in season 8, is going to be a huge, like, hour and a half crazy battle scene. I'm fucking ready. I'm like, when is Sunday? I can't believe I have to wait. I'm wanting to go on the internet and try to find this illegally, but I'm saying, Kate, don't do that. It's not worth a huge fine. You know what I mean? I'm just like, come on, let's go. Like, I'm looking at Arcturian sacred geometry, teleportation portals. I'm trying to get to Sunday. You know what I'm saying? I am so jazzed. I really wish Game of Thrones knew what a big fucking fan I was and I got invited to one of these fucking premiere showings in New York City. I would be geeking out crying. Like, can someone tell them I'm like the biggest fan and get me? I need to see these fucking episodes. I'm dying. I love the show so much. Oh, and then Jamie and Bran had their meeting by the tree. Because once again, Jamie pushed Bran out of a window years ago because Bran was climbing a tower because he was always climbing shit and saw Jamie fucking his sister. And then Jamie pushed him out the window and said, the things we do for love. Bran, because Jamie had to go in front of Daenerys, the queen, because she's like, yo, you killed my fucking dad. How do I know you're not going to slit my throat? Anyway, Bran and Jamie had to meet. And Bran was like, yeah, I'm not mad at anyone because I'm like the three-eyed raven. I see everything. I can see beyond time. And Jamie said something like, well, what's going to happen after this war? And Bran was like, how do you know there is an after? And it's like, ooh, you know. Anyway, and then Theon came back. And suddenly there was sexual tension between Sansa and Theon. And all I could think about was the whole Ramsay Theon thing because I think he fucked with his dick, right? And I'm like, oh man, I hope he still has a penis so they could have sex, you know? Like, I don't know what's going on there, but we don't really know with Missandei and her dude's name, who I love. I'm so sad I'm forgetting his name, but like, yeah, I love their love as well. I hope everyone's penises work so they can all have sex after the war. I hope the Night King has like abilities to fix everyone's penises, you know what I mean? Okay, let's see. I'm moving off from Game of Thrones. You guys who aren't Game of Thronesers can breathe again. I will chill the fuck out. I just want to say, dude, for real, claim your power, everyone. Claim your inner goddess, your inner god, your inner king, your queen. Let the bullies stay mortal. You know what I mean? Like, don't hide your light. Don't hide who you are for other people. Like, we're past that, you know? I feel like when we're in high school, we want to fit in so badly that we're willing to, like, play smaller than we are, pretend we're not as weird as we are, not go for our actual heart's desires because we don't want to be made fun of. Guess what? Like, whether you're in high school still, middle school, or you're an adult, like, go for it. I have your back. Whether you know me or not, like, go for your heart's desires. Be your weird self. The world is shifting and changing, and those bullies, they're losing their power. And that's what they're scared of, is that they're going to actually have to be seen, that their weird's going to be shown. And they probably have all these historical wounds of, if I'm my true self, will I get beat? Will I get punished? That's their stuff to deal with. They can go get healings. But don't you hide your truth and who you really are and what your excitement is because you're scared that those people are going to make fun of you. Fuck them. Let them go make fun of you and have a miserable time. You guys, find your fucking tribe. Come to my events and find people that are all about singing and creating music and art and comedy or whatever. Like, you know, just steer clear of toxic environments. And there's a particular Oracle card that has come out a couple times this week, either for me or with a client. And it's purify your surroundings. And it's like, make sure your living space has reminders of your truest self, including crystals or incense, just things that gets you in that vibration of remembering your truest self. And also really steer clear of any toxic environments. So if someone invites you to a party or anything and you think about it and you just don't really want to go for whatever reason, you have every right to listen. Do not let people force you or guilt you into doing things that you don't want to do. That time is over. We are shifting. Do what you want to do. And if people have a problem with that or want to ruin your life or something because you just want to be you, fuck them. Like, they can't. Once again, things are changing and shifting. And those of us who have the pure hearts and are going for our dreams, we're finding each other and we're sticking together. So claim your inner goddess, your inner god, your inner king, your inner queen. And if people want to make fun of it or call it narcissistic or whatever fucking name they want to throw onto that, let them. Self-love is not narcissistic. Claiming your power is not narcissistic. Now, when you claim it, it's still important to fight for good causes like the planet Earth and animals and humanity. That's how you know you're not narcissistic when you're steeped in that self-love, is when you're also remembering about community and wanting to help not just others, but this planet thrive. Then that's anything but narcissistic to know your worth. There's this amazing song that Jaden Smith put out called Icon. First of all, it's just an incredible song. But I mean, he's a great example of a spiritual being who has completely claimed his divinity and has no shame in it. I mean, his dad's fucking Will Smith, you know, like, but I'm sure he got bullied, but he doesn't give a fuck. He is an icon in his own right. So you are allowed to call yourself an icon, a legend, whatever you want. You are allowed to claim your title and your power as long as you don't wield your power in a negative way. But do not, once again, hide your light just because you're embarrassed of it. I mean, those, once again, and if you're having trouble claim your light, get a healing from me. I promise that the non-dual Kabbalistic healings and my tarot readings, I think that they do, they work. So those of you who really want one, it's the letter K, Wolf, W-O-L-F-F, two Fs, 27 at gmail.com. But no more holding in your truest light. No, be you. Also, everyone has to really pay attention to body language. You know, it's so easy to get lost in what someone's saying, but you have to really listen to your body. So someone could be saying the nicest stuff, but if your body's crumpling in within you, that's information. And I think we have to just really tap into our bodies, pay attention to body language. A lot of times people like to get up in your space. So you are allowed to create like almost like a safe body bubble around you, and you're allowed to like step back if someone's getting too close. Pay attention to someone's body language. If they're doing something that makes you uncomfortable, you're allowed to say it. It's just the time to start really getting into our sensitivity and into our bodies, and being more direct is always a good thing. Saying how you actually feel and paying attention to your body. Like, for example, if someone's talking to you, and this used to happen to me all the time, where someone would be talking to me and I'd pay attention to my body and my arms would be like wrapped around me, almost like rocking myself like a baby. And I'm like, oh, when I talk to this person, I don't feel safe. I literally crossed my entire body and started rocking. That's what I'm saying when I say pay attention to body language. You have to feel when your throat starts closing, when your stomach starts clenching, or in the good way, when you start getting chills, when your whole body comes alive. It's just information to pay attention to. And we're all working on communicating and being more direct with each other, but that can be really scary because we were taught to be so, quote unquote, PC, that we got scared to really ultimately speak our truth. And what I'm saying is, listen to what excites you, speak it, and you have every right to feel safe always. You have every right, if someone's touching you a lot and you don't want them to touch you, to say, hey, sorry, can I get a little more space? You have every right to take rests and naps if that's what you need. You have every right to skip any kind of party if it's not exciting you. I'm trying to think of more examples, but you get it. It's your life, it's your freedom, and you have to listen. And I am so grateful for, I have this great group of friends. I just am very lucky to know people who are all about this path and listening to their heart and speaking truth and talking through, you know, whatever arises, putting it on the table and chewing through it. And I'm just ready to create the new earth with my homies, with my people, and to have those of you who want to be a part of it, fucking doing your own thing, whether you're creating it or wanting to come to some of my event stuff or whatever, like, we're doing the damn thing. And I'm very, very excited. Okay, going to my next notes. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's a very interesting topic for a lot of people because, first of all, it's obvious that he was one of the most talented musicians and dancers out there. That to me is indisputable, whether you agree or not with the pedophilia charges. So first, I think we can all agree his talent is unprecedented, right? So yes, he's talented. And I think that that is what confuses a lot of people. You can love his music and his creativity and the product he put out while not loving a lot of the darkness that I guess he couldn't contain in a sense. So he was a man with a lot of pain who acted out. And I think people have a hard time being a fan of his music and then also being able to hold that truth. And I'll be honest, I still like his music. I don't know. I don't think I would play it on my own. I'm not sure about that. But when I do hear it playing and I'm somewhere, it brings up mixed feelings for sure. I don't know how to feel, but I can still listen to it as the song and say, okay, this is a good song. But then I do change the channel. That's just me. Because I do 100% feel that he molested at least 4 to 5 boys. And that is inexcusable. So I can't listen to his music anymore, even though it is undeniably good. But I have decided that I don't, you know, if I have a choice in the matter, I do not like to listen to it. But that's me. You all get to make your own decisions about someone like him, Bill Cosby, or whoever is both a talented artist, but then also has these things that where they assaulted people. Let's see. Yeah, so I was in Atlantic City Comedy Club this past weekend. It was a great time. Shane came with me. My friend Zach Campo, he opened. He did an incredible job opening. Russ Gutten was the host, who always does an incredible job and gets the energy flowing and going. It's an incredible venue. They're actually moving to a new venue that I think is going to be fucking magic and lit and all that magical stuff. But it's an honor to get to be associated with them. And it was really cool getting to perform with Russ and Zach this weekend. Shane was with me. And he actually wrote a 5-minute set that he performed for me and Zach. And it's fucking amazing. He was not allowed to perform it this weekend because at this venue, it's just not really a kid. It's not a place for a kid to go on stage. And I understand that, although we did ask. But they made the right move in not letting him. But I cannot wait for him to do this 5-minute set. I'll obviously film it and put it up only if he wants me to. But wow, he wrote it all himself and they're good fucking jokes. So, and it's inappropriate a bit. So it's really cool. I'm excited for Shane to work that comedy muscle more and more and be the proud mom standing by the side. It's actually really fun to get to watch Shane sing, make comedy, create art. I'm always proud. So, also, it is really important to meditate and stay linked to a spiritual practice of some kind. I'm very lucky. I have an impersonal movement meditation group on Sundays. And just having like a group, it's not a big group, but it helps keep me feel anchored. And I can't make every single Sunday. I mean, neither can really anyone in the group. Sometimes someone misses it, but it's almost like a little mini family. And I just think everyone kind of needs some kind of meditation and some kind of group meditation with people. They don't have to be like necessarily like your bestest friends in the world, but like having that heart connection. Do you know what I mean? Like just having trust and similar kavanah where you're both just on this dedicated mission here. Like, do you know what I mean? Like creating a group where you just trust the people, I think really helps, and knowing that you all have each other. It's like a family like quality in a sense. So I would suggest meditating. I don't do the types of meditations where you have to clear the mind. I learned one from my school where you include and you bring everything in. And to me, that's way more helpful. And you can always get a healing from me if you want more information on how to stay more in tune with your own inner consciousness, spirituality, higher knowing, whatever you want to call that thing that we all yearn for. We also yearn for stability and certainty, which is hard when you're a human living in the unknown, you know, behind the veil. But the certainty lies within you. That's where the certainty comes from. So the more work you do, and the more you trust and love yourself and anchor within, the less the winds can actually affect you because you're so deeply rooted within yourself. And it immediately brings me, in terms of the Tree of Life, into three particular Sephirot. I won't necessarily share them, but they're qualities of consciousness that we learned in my school, a Society of Souls, that I think really does help you root. I mean, just learning and kind of immersing yourself in the tree through the four-year program, you automatically, things just heal and shift. But I really do think spiritual work, in whatever way, there are so many different programs and schools, you have to go with what resonates with you. But I have found that finding inner peace and finding that certainty and anchor within yourself is really the path. And having to, you know, you have to create poetry, writing, art, creating music, technology. I mean, there's so many ways to create whatever's coming through your soul, but it's important to keep that going, to keep it moving. I saw an article that there's this like deadly fungus going around. Who knows if that's true or not, but there are some outbreaky things going on. Make sure you shower, make sure you wash your hands. You don't need to do it obsessively at all, but trying to be mindful of being sanitary is helpful. And once again, being in your body can really help, because if you're in your body, you start to listen when your throat gets tired, when your stomach starts to hurt, when you need a rest, when you need to move. It's really important to become more and more sensitized to what it is that your system and your body is really saying to you, and to embody that. All right, I'm going to do two cards from the Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck. And I'm going to wrap it up because my throat's starting to hurt from talking so much, and I just told you all to listen to your body, so I'm going to listen to mine. First card, break free, regain your youth and fly. I've definitely pulled this for you guys before. It's one of my favorite cards. I named my dance party Break Free. Break free, fly, go where you want to go, set your standards high and expect the best. But break free, the regaining the youth, that childhood magic, the freedom of doing what you really want to do and going towards things and people and situations where you feel held and heard and accepted. And remembering that we really are all superheroes, but many of us have fallen asleep to our abilities, and that's fine. But those of us who are waking up and remembering the magic within, will fucking get out your wands or your crystals or whatever, and let's fucking do this. You know, life is made to be enjoyed. Yes, there will always be suffering in the sense of, to even manifest, to even be here, there was an original contraction, a carving in, and the fact that we have to breathe and eat and consume, often that pain of death existing with life can be intense. But overall, this life is here for us to live and to enjoy. And it's okay to break free and get in touch with that young place within and enjoy life through the eyes of a child, and to regain your innocence. In the innocence in the sense of the child who just wants to love and connect and share and geek out over the things that excites them and not be made fun of for being the unique, multifaceted beings that we all are. And the next card is from the Archangel Michael Doreen Virtue deck. And it is Eternal Love. And really try to close your eyes and breathe. and perceive all of the love that already surrounds you. Remember that God and Goddess are always holding you in their arms, and that you are safe, and that we are all always held in this place of love. And in terms of romance, that is there for you too, as you go within and do the work inside to know that you are deserving. When you start trusting yourself and seeing you and meeting you for who you are, then suddenly you become a vibrational match to that kind of romance. But that kind of romance doesn't come from self-hate or settling or beating yourself up or staying steeped in shame. And I am learning a lot in the last week and a half about how much shame I was still holding in my system. It was hard for me to even take in compliments or to hear what someone was actually saying, because I was putting out this defense before I could even take in what was coming, the actual information, because of my historical wounds, my trauma, my poison ground, etc. So, you know, just continue to love yourself on a real, real level, whoever you are. And if you see yourself beating yourself up still for who you are, then, you know, bring love to that place, the judge, the one that thinks you're not doing it right, you know. Just as best you can, love yourself, anchor in yourself, and know that this journey will continue to evolve and unfold. And the more that you can surrender and have faith, whether it's in yourself or a higher power or whatever, the easier the journey gets. But easier doesn't mean boring. There's going to be a ton of excitement and life filled in this space as you open up and clear away old kinks and wounds and traumas. You could have a trauma that happened to you 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. We hold trauma and pain in our system on a cellular level. So it doesn't matter how much time goes by. If you're still holding on to grief or anger or whatever, it's still in your system. And we often have to process and cry and grieve and communicate and all sorts of things to get those systems moving again, so we can move towards a more authentic way of being where we're actually ourselves. But so many people are ashamed to be upset over something that might have happened 10 or 15 or 20 years ago or more, 70 years ago, lifetimes ago, who knows? So it's really important to just allow yourself to be, even if you're having emotional pulls or reactions to things that you think you're not supposed to care about anymore. You care about what you care about. And as you accept that kind of a truth, something else can transform and happen, because you're being kind to yourself and saying, well, this is what I care about. Okay. And then you love yourself there. And it's actually evolutionary in a sense when you just allow whatever's there and not try to force it away because you think there's a problem with being who you are or having feelings for things or people or situations that you just can't control. We're all sensitive beings trying our best. So namaste to you all. Like I said, this Saturday, the 27th at my house in Island, New Jersey is Miss Wolf's art class from 10 to 3. We will be creating unique individual paintings. I will be focusing, I believe, on portraits, either a self-portrait, a portrait of someone famous, a portrait of someone in your life you love, a pet portrait. It can be many, many things. Tickets on Eventbrite. I'd love to see you there. The next comedy seance is July 28th. It's a while away, but mark it on your calendars. New York Comedy Club's 4th Street location, 6 p.m., promo seance for $10 tickets, and that's with Allison Charles and Jess Grippo. And I believe those two things are all I'm going to promote for now. Get a healing with me, K, the letter K, Wolf, 2Fs27@gmail.com for tower reading, twin flame reading, non-dual Kabbalistic healing, a soul song singing reading. I can really do it all in that arena. So reach out if you'd like a healing or reading. And follow me on Instagram, Twitter, @TheKateWolf2Fs. And thank you all so much for listening. Bye.